Eventually today, we're going to be in Psalm 46, if you want to turn in your Bibles to that space. My apologies for all the coughing that's going on up here today. I've been diagnosed by my doctor with allergy-induced asthma, at least right now. So she tells me I am not contagious. You don't need to worry. I will be very careful the direction I cough. And excuse me if I have to cough a few times during the message today. I'm sorry. Okay, we are continuing today in our series on the spiritual practices. Remember, as we've been talking about spiritual practices, our God is more interested in our transformation and healing than we are. But when we desire to cooperate with God in that healing and transformation, spiritual practices are the most effective way to do it. We began a couple weeks ago with a focus on breath prayer. Today, we're going to be talking about something called Lectio Divina, which is a way to engage with the Word of God. My initial experience of the Bible was through something called a quiet time. Anyone else familiar with that term, quiet time? Was that ever a part of your upbringing or your education when it came to Scripture? Quiet times were central to the Christian culture that I began with. If you were spiritual, if you were serious, you engaged with a quiet time every single day, and an hour was supposed to be the minimum time that you did as a spiritual person. You would spread out your study Bible, not just a regular Bible, but a study Bible, because you needed that extra insight, those extra notes that came in that kind of Bible. Sometimes you would bring along extra translations so that you could see the Scripture in different ways. You might even bring a few commentaries to the table so you could get more information that way. There would be worksheets with questions to answer. There would be prayer guides along the way. And that got me launched in the study and the interpretation of Scripture. Eventually, when I made my way through college and enrolled in seminary, I was in heaven. Because now we added hermeneutical studies, the deep interpretation of the Scriptures. We added exegesis, this ability to extract the original meaning from almost any text I engaged. And eventually, we added Greek and Hebrew to the mix. And so when it came to engaging with Scripture, I had all of these tools at my disposal so I could study, so I could interpret, so I could apply the Scriptures to everything I did in my life. Lectio Divina, which we're going to be talking about this morning, is absolutely nothing like that. Absolutely nothing like that. In essence, the difference between the kind of study and interpretation I just described in Lectio Divina is the difference between reading a textbook and reading a love letter. Lectio Divina, by definition, means divine or sacred reading. We're accustomed to reading for two primary reasons in this world: for entertainment and for new information. This is something entirely different when we're talking about Lectio Divina. In Lectio Divina, we are seeking God's presence because we know that in God's presence, we find our own healing and transformation. In Lectio Divina, we approach reading with no agenda whatsoever, no presuppositions. One author said, in Lectio Divina, we approach Scripture naked in order to be clothed by the very Word of God. We're not reading here for interpretation. Ordinarily, we would consider the author, the audience, the original meaning of the text, and yet Lectio Divina is different. Lectio Divina is more like listening to music, allowing the notes to flow over us, absorbing its emotion and its impact. This is not a Bible study. It's a spirit-guided devotional experience, remembering that the Bible is approaching the Bible as a love letter, not as a textbook. Historically, Lectio Divina was first mentioned in 220 AD. Early on, people were learning to read the Bible for more than information and more than just entertainment, but they were seeking devotion, a communion, and a connection with God. The four steps that are usually associated with Lectio Divina were mentioned all the way back in the 12th century by a Carthusian monk named Guigo II. He wrote a book called The Monk's Ladder that was based on Jacob's vision from Genesis 28, verse 12. Take a look at that image up on the screen. It's an artist's depiction of that vision that Jacob had as he dreamed of the angels ascending and descending from heaven. In Guigo's mind, this was a picture of angels bringing our prayers to God and bringing God's answers back to us. It was a picture to him of what it meant to commune with the living God. So I know what you're thinking. I'm not a monk. What does this have to do with me, this Lectio Divina stuff? But, you know, I'm not a monk either. But because of who we are as human beings, this still is very relevant to us all. We live full lives. We live busy lives. We live distracted lives. And that can make it incredibly difficult for us to commune with our God. Lectio Divina helps to slow us down. And it gives us permission to stop just doing, but to actually be. To be who we truly are in the presence of Scripture, in the presence of the living God. So how is it practiced? Let me provide a few simple suggestions to get us started in this beautiful practice. If you are about to engage in the practice of Lectio Divina, you first want to attend to your surroundings. You want to find a quiet, private, comfortable space, not altogether different than the space you were looking for breath prayer when we talked about it a few weeks ago. You want to find the right surroundings so that you'll be undisturbed and so that you'll be able to focus on what you're about to engage. Secondly, you're going to want to choose a biblical text. Usually you choose a text that's no more than 6 to 8 verses because you're going to be reading it over and over in order to meditate upon it. You'll want to choose a readable translation, and maybe the one that you usually use is very readable for you, and that's fine. But sometimes people who say use the NIV for their study and their interpretation might say, I'd like something a little more paraphrased, like the Message, or something like the New Living Translation for the practice of Lectio Divina, because it just seems to kind of lend itself to absorbing it differently. You're probably going to want to find an unmarked version of the particular passage you're choosing. Some of us, if we're serious about Bible study, our Bibles are all marked up, right? They're highlighted, they have notes and interpretations, and that's incredible, that's wonderful. But when you sit down for the practice of Lectio Divina, your design is not to reconsider the notes you made 10 years ago when you studied that passage, but to engage the Scripture itself once more in a fresh way. And so having a fresh page with no notes and no highlights and just the Scripture before you is a wonderful way to do that. So if you're getting serious about Lectio Divina, maybe you have a separate Bible that you use just for that. It doesn't have any markings in it. Or just go online to a website like Bible Gateway where you can select the passage, you can print it out on a sheet of paper, and you have it in front of you in a clean format, easy to read, easy to engage, with no distractions at all. Once you've attended to your surroundings and chosen a biblical text, you want to prepare yourself. You want to still yourself. You want to quiet yourself. You want to center yourself. You want to take some deep breaths. Maybe your practice of breath prayer comes in handy here to sort of calm yourself and prepare yourself for the deep engagement that you're looking for with the Scripture. And then finally, after you've attended to your surroundings, chosen the biblical text, and prepared yourself, it's time to follow the 4 steps, or as Guigo would call them, the 4 rungs that would help you to ascend to the presence of God. Those 4 rungs are read, reflect, respond, and rest. But let me unpack those a little bit for us. Read is the word lectio. That's where we get the Lectio Divina. When you get to this first step, after you've prepared yourself and you're ready to engage the Scripture, you read through the passage slowly. It's sometimes helpful to read it aloud instead of reading it just in your mind when you do this, just to hear the words resonate more fully. As you read through this first time, you listen for a word or phrase that stands out. A word or phrase that grabs you as you read your way through that text. What is it that resonates with you as you read your way through these 6 to 8 verses? Or maybe, what is it that you find yourself resisting or pushing against when you read your way through these 6 to 8 verses? This is a time of allowing the text to trigger memories or associations within you. As you focus on the text, you invite the Holy Spirit to guide you and to point these things out. That's that first step of reading or lectio. The second step is reflect or meditatio. At this point, you read the text once again, and you listen with your mind, which we're accustomed to, but also with your heart. How do you feel as you listen to this text? What does it do to your emotions? And why might you need the word or phrase that is standing out? You read it the second time and you give yourself this time of silence to reflect on these things, on the emotions that are being activated by the text itself. The third step is respond or oratio. You read the text again at this step, and then you pray. You respond to the experience you're having in an honest and transparent way. This is a time to deliberately ask God for insight and for illumination. So something has stood out to you. You've meditated upon the emotions that it might be activating within you. And at this point, you speak to God and you ask for illumination. You ask for insight. Why? Why is this phrase jumping out? Why am I resistant to what that verse says? You get a chance to ask God for his illumination in this process. And the final step is rest or contemplatio. You read the text once again in this final step and then simply choose to rest in God's presence. No specific thoughts, no words, deep breaths. And on the surface, this sounds like the most simple step. But this is the step that often takes the most practice for us busybodies, for these distracted lives that we live, to engage the scripture as you have in those first three steps, but then to be able to sit in a listening posture and truly receive whatever it is that God might want to communicate to you from his inspired word. These are the four steps. And what I'd like us to do in the next couple minutes is give it a try right here in the sanctuary. It's a little bit different when you do something like this in a community than it is when you do it by yourself. And so we'll have to acknowledge that. We're not in a private space or even a quiet space necessarily, but we are in a comfortable space. And you can do this with small groups where you break out and you talk in each one of the steps. We're not going to do that this morning. Some of you right now are looking for the exit. I know that. You want to run out of this space because I didn't sign up to do anything. I just want you to tell me about this stuff. But trust me, you're going to sit right where you are, and we're just going to try briefly to walk our way through this. When you go through this practice on your own, you choose what those times of silence might be. They might be just 30 seconds or a minute. You might extend out to very lengthy times of silence so you can fully engage each of the steps. I'm going to place this at about a minute per silence. I want you to know that ahead of time so you're not wondering how long this is going to take or am I going to be stuck in this step. But I'd like us to use Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7, and here's the way I want to approach it. I'm going to have us sit and breathe just for a moment. Make sure that you are comfortable in the place that you are. And I'm going to read the text through once, Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. And you know, when you're choosing a text that you're going to do it on, you can choose any scripture in all of the Bible. But the Psalms are wonderful for this. The Gospels are wonderful for this. And so that's why I chose Psalm 46 for us today. I'm going to read through it once, and then I'm going to pause. And then as we come to each one of the readings, I'm just going to remind you of what that step is for. And then I'm going to read through the text once again, so five times altogether, once at the beginning and once for each of the steps. And then I'm going to give you that minute of silence for you to engage God, to listen for the Holy Spirit, to hear the text in any way you like. If it's helpful for you to have your Bible open in front of you and to look down at the text, feel free to do so. The steps will be up on the screen as we go, but let's do this. Let's enter into God's presence just as a community this morning and see what God might have for us. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. So I invite you to calm yourself and reflect as we prepare to engage the Word of God. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We'll move into step one, read. In just a moment, as I read through this passage once again, listen for a word or phrase that stands out. Discern where there might be resonance or resistance. Invite the text to trigger memories or associations that God might have for you. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In this next step, you are invited to reflect. As I read again, listen with your mind and your heart. How do you feel as you listen to this scripture? Why might you need the word or phrase that is standing out? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In step three, we are invited to respond. As I read this text again, pray to God. Respond to your experience of the text in an honest and transparent way. Be deliberate in asking God for insight and for illumination. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And now in the fourth and final step, you are invited to rest. As I read this text again, choose to simply rest in God's presence. Don't add your own thoughts or your own words. Take deep breaths and sense God's presence with you. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord God, we are so thankful for your presence here with us. And we are so thankful for the gift of Scripture, all that you reveal of yourself and all that you reveal of us. And we're reminded in this beautiful ancient practice of Lectio Divina that the Scriptures are more than information. Scriptures are an invitation from you to us that we might commune with you. with you. That we might hear the voice of your Spirit calling to us in the midst of tumultuous lives, comforting us, encouraging us, energizing us, reminding us of your love. Help us to utilize the scriptures to draw nearer to you. Meet us in the midst of this spiritual practice that we might further experience your healing and your transformation. Jesus, it's in your name that I pray. Amen.